If you've ever been to a classical concert and listened to a composition like a symphony by either Beethoven or Mozart, you know that they love to build up the finale. They love to have an ending that is powerful, an ending that is very beautiful, a good send-off. Mozart is famous for some, of course, Beethoven probably even more so. Also, when it comes to fireworks, especially this summer, for the 250th birthday of our nation, we all know that every fireworks display has a grand finale, where they don't just set off one after another, but they seem to set off a whole celebration's worth of fireworks at the same time, right to bring it to a conclusion. Now, if you look at today's first reading, our apostles really thought that there was going to be some kind of a grand finale. It's been 40 days since the resurrection when they had gathered together on this mountain. Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? In other words, now are you going to kick out the Romans? And Jesus says, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, etc. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem. They really wanted some great earth-shaking event. They still wanted to have more of an earthly finale, almost a political finale for the sake of the, you know, countering the oppression that they were going through. Well, they were left without that kind of finale. Here's Jesus ascending into heaven and telling them, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. He's telling them, you do this, you make disciples, you baptize, you teach. Goodbye. Signing off. Now he does say, I will be with you until the end of the age, but this teaches us a very important lesson that the grand finale is us, each one of us. It's up to you and to me, cooperating with God's grace, to be his grand finale, to be that final movement. Again, he could either do everything for us, which defeats the whole purpose of taking on humanity. If he was going to do everything for us anyway, he could have just pressed the restart button from heaven and not come all the way down to redeem suffering, to redeem human nature by taking on human nature. He didn't have to do that, but he did that to show us that you and I are the final aspect of his work. And that means working on us to be like him. That means we are the ones doing the work of evangelization. We are the ones that hopefully show forth the power of heaven. That's why he says, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then he says, you go and do it. We need to truly reconsider what it means to pray for others who are experiencing difficulties. If we want to experience the power of Christ, we have to start touching literally the power of prayer. If we want to truly make great disciples, you and I first and foremost have to be disciples. And then spread that faith ourselves, not just quietly, but sometimes directly by interacting with others, offering some advice when asked, and even just being kind enough to mention or to ask someone else, how are you doing? And so, my brothers and sisters, I invite you to think of this great mystery of Christ having only been in the resurrected body for 40 days, and we know it was even less than 40 days because his first week, he only appeared on Easter Sunday and the Sunday following and appeared sporadically. Why did he leave us with apparently everything to do? Because that was everything he meant to do, to truly leave us with his power, to truly use his power to transform our lives and the world around us, to truly have the ability to observe all that he commanded us, and in our love of him, to truly make his presence here prophetically true. I am with you always until the end of the age. And you and I can make that true when we stay in the state of grace, when we are always loving him in prayer and living out our baptismal duties.